Dr. Mae Blind, who's from the University of Oklahoma. I've been hoping that we could get Mae here for a talk for many years. I'm so glad we finally have the opportunity. Mae is another one of these geographic information scientists who is greatly admired and greatly sought after in terms of talks and papers and resources because of her very thoughtful and careful work in geographic information science. Particularly the areas of data mining and knowledge discovery and representations or extensions to representations of geographic information. And in my own work, I've really followed Mae's work in the area of temporal GIS, which is one of those holy grails of GIS, one of the research frontiers that we're still grappling with, and it's been very helpful to me in my own work with marine science applications of GIS. Mae is going to talk about temporal applications of GIS as it pertains to meteorology and perhaps some other areas as well. So this should be a very important and interesting talk. Just a little bit of background on Mae. She is the Edith Kinney Gaylord Presidential Professor of Geography at the University of Oklahoma. She's also the Associate Dean of the new College of Atmosphere and Geographic Sciences. That's a very interesting combination, the atmospheric sciences and geography. She's the director of the University of Oklahoma Center for Spatial Analysis. And as I've mentioned, she has been doing groundbreaking work in the area of temporal GIS, particularly for climate and weather applications. She also works with various kinds of data modeling, which can be applied to land use studies, wildfire extent, air pollution, and so forth. There's also on the link, the webpage that we have for this seminar, there is a link next to Dr. Wan's information on a recent workshop that she coordinated. And this was a UCGIS workshop on computation and visualization for the understanding of dynamics in geographic domains. So I put a link to that very important workshop on the website so that you have access to those resources as well. Mae is originally from Taiwan. She was educated at National Taiwan University at the undergraduate level, and then went on to the State University of New York at Buffalo to receive her MA and her PhD in geography. And she was affiliated or associated with the National Center for Geographic Information and Analysis, or the NCGIA, there at Buffalo. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. Mae Blind.
Thank you very much to spare your time to spend the lovely afternoon with me when there's a great sunshine shining outside. I'm humbled when Don called me and said, well, can you come here for a talk? I said, well, of course, it's Don. So there's no question. And also, I'm really, really privileged. It was a distinct honor to be able to share with you my research ideas. And I'm going to talk about temporal GIS for meteorology research, but it's really much broader to look at how temporal GIS can capture processes, events, and geographical dynamics in GIS databases. And my title, the subtitle here, and you notice I have two visualization words here, it's not a mistake, because my belief is that visualization is the star to capture, to recognize, to precede what dynamic is involved. And once we capture it, we try to represent it in the GIS database. Then we analyze it. And once we analyze whatever we capture in the database, then we want to visualize the result again, visualize the outcome to know, well, whether what we try to capture is really reflect what is in reality. Then if the correspondence meet, then we can know that we do have a good understanding about what's going on. So that pretty much is the conceptual basis for the talk today. And I welcome questions, and you can ask me during the talk or save questions in hand, either way, whatever is most comfortable with you. The outline of my talk, I will give you a brief history of time GIS and how temporal GIS can be used for meteorological applications, and follow the thought about starting visualization and validate through visualization and go through understanding. And then eventually I give you a case study and we develop a prototype to implement this concept. And I would say that the developer time in GIS haven't been really able to catch the dynamic nature of geography. And we started with a static view of the world, and as all of us know that in GIS, the data are organized into a set of features, and in the past we say data layers, now we have the object-oriented idea, we say feature classes. But nevertheless, each class or each layer is a static set of geographical features, and they usually separated based on geometry and attributes associated with that geometry. And because it is a static view of the world, and therefore there's no room for time to incorporate it into the GIS database. And if there's no room for time, then what we see, what we visualize in GIS is simply the static perspective. And the development of temporal GIS in temporal incorporation into GIS is in parallel with the adding time in relational database management systems. We have, now imagine that we have timetable, and we have each table and show the record of different counties and population average income. And what the time step table approach is, well, every year we just have a new table. It's almost like census survey, right? Every survey you have a new table. So even though a county, if you want to look at the history of the county, you have to access the data from multiple tables. And if the county name changes, then you might lose the temporal link of the data set. And there's another approach is, well, if time stamp table creating the linkage issue among counties, then why don't we just time stamp the values, which means the identity of that county or identity of person does not change, but we attach time, in this case T11 to T49, attached to the value of the attribute, so we can know that this particular person at different period of time make different salaries. And fortunately, the salary seems to increase over time. And the other thing is we can also timestamp records in the sense that we know a particular object have an attribute, and that attribute is valued from T1 to T2, and we do that for every record. So this is what computer scientists have done in relational database management. In GIS, it's very similar. We just pretty much replace a table with layers. And these are the three major approaches. Let's do it one at a time. This is time step layers. So what we have is that each layer corresponds to a different period of time for that particular region to show the African American population distribution. So we can look at the animation of the time step layers to know the spread of the population from T1 to T2. And the other approach is what we call space-time composites. So you have multiple temporal layers. You just overlay them all together and then to find out the minimum unit in space that corresponds to the same history of that location over time. So in this case, polygon 1 and at from T1 to T4, you change from rural area all along, it doesn't change the range you set up, but the polygon 2 changed from rural area to urban area from T1 to T2. So if suppose we have a new layer, we have T5, and there are additional changes to this study area, then the whole database has to be reconstructed because the object, the polygon will be changing, and therefore this table will no longer be valid. So this is seen as time stamp attributes, which can create a lot of problems in GIS. And the third approach is time stamp spatial temporal objects, and this is similar to the time stamp values in the relational database. So what we have is come out with a particular construct that doesn't change over space and time and make it a unit in a database. So that this particular unit represents a homogeneous attribute value over a set union of space within that period of time. So this is that that timestamp values in the relational database system. And but again, if you keep moving on, you have to create the linkages between the objects to make up what's going on in a particular point in time, which can be challenged in the database management. And also when you try to visualize what does it look like at T3, for example, based on all these objects, and then you have to assemble all the T3 values together to make up the T3 distribution to visualize what it's like, which can be very cumbersome as well. But that method suited very well for terrestrial mapping. But my position here is that a lot of efforts put into temporal GIS, it seems to me that they emphasize the location. They look at change in location either at a snapshot approach or at a space-time composite approach or at a spatial temporal object approach. The basic unit in recording what's going on over time in a space of space, of the geometry of space. So the arrow is like from space, we identify the spatial extent, and over time, and record the semantic, record the attributes at that location. And because we are location-based, so nothing can move. And as we know that a lot of things like weather or storms move over space and time, like temperature change over space and time. And this kind of approach really cannot capture the dynamic very well. And we have some commercial temporal GIS available as well. And those commercial GIS pretty much follow what we have in the academic research, as I showed you, that three different approaches. And this is one approach that similar to space timestamp areas. Here we go. So every layer has a timestamp attached to it. So when we move the layers over, and then you can see that at some time that a certain object appeared, and at some time that certain object disappeared. So we can see how moving over time, what's happening at that given location. Okay, so something comes up and...
What's the time step there?
The day. Okay, one look at here, it doesn't consider changes in geometry or attributes of that object. It just because the only timestamp over layers. And there is another commercial package, and then they look at timestamp objects. But the difference is here, I think the unique feature here is we put an object into a hierarchy, and so that an object at the same time, then they will be able to aggregate it to each other much easier. But it's still, it's like a spatial temporal object model, as I showed you earlier. It's each chunk of the data being put into the time scale from time to time. Okay. And the other, this is very new, and a lot of public health applications are using this particular process, ParaShare. And what they have is they timestamp objects. So for like suppose this is a patient. So the patient moves across the hospital, then you can keep track of the patient location over time. So it's almost like a GPS application in the geography scale. And not very sophisticated either. It's mainly point-based. So current GIS technology in terms of commercial, most of our point data or the data do not change geometry. And it's change-based information in the sense that if there is a change, it records an item there or change the attribute. And it considers uniform change, which means an object, a polygon, for example, for something change, the whole polygon has to change. Otherwise, the polygon will have to split into two different polygons. It doesn't consider change with spatial variation, like a storm. The internal temperature distribution might change as the storm moves. And split of the object, a merge of object, and development, which means the initiation of the storm to maturity of the storm, all the way to dissipation of the storm. And that kind of information is not able to capture in the current system. And there is an event-based system proposed by Dr. Donna Piquet in Penn State. And what they have is that they have started with a base map and have a header file recording the what have been changed from base map from T1 to T2. So using this example, we have two different shading in the three polygons. So the first two shadings are first change, and then in another time, this area may have change occur as well. So we have, for example, here the T2, and they have two polygons. So we have two group of changes linking. And for each change, they change to value 15. And it record for each line, we record that the cell addresses of the change. For example, this is the this corresponds to this. It's row number 4 and cell number 16 to 19. Row number 4, cell number 16 to 19, this is this row, have changed to value 15. So in this case, the model, when we talk about event, it talks about when there is a change in the data set, there is an event. So this event not necessarily corresponds to the real event occurred in geography. And what I'm interested in really is a weather system, a weather event, or a volcano eruption, that's an event, rather than only the event captured in the database. So when we look at meteorological application, we prevent a lot of challenges to look at how we can visualize, to represent, and visualize again, and then to understand what's going on in the atmosphere environment. And the same idea can be applied to other dynamic systems, like droughts, wildfires, pollution plumes, or heat wave. So what I advocate is, when we look at GIS, we really should shift our focus from data storage emphasis to analysis emphasis. Because when we look at weather, we are not interested in individual data, really. What we are interested in is what pattern we present in our data. How can we analyze data so that I can understand what's going on better? So to change from storage emphasis to analysis emphasis, rather than to look at how data are coming in, whether they have potential or not, but to look at what we really want to get from the data set. So what I propose is, what we are interested in is really the process of dynamic embedded in the data, and how can we get it from data and to look at it. So this is an example. Now, in a couple months, have not much to do but look at the weather data. So this is a major tornado outbreak in Oklahoma. As you can see, that the whole event is quite extensive. It cannot just use a point, lines, or polygons to try to capture this particular event. Okay, so I will try to one more time. You can see that it's starting with two isolated cells, then developing into a cluster of cells, and eventually get to a spore line and bow echo. And that has a lot of different meteorological implications. So the idea is, how can we capture all these processes in a database? As I mentioned that, we really started with visualization. What meteorologists are weather forecasters, what they do is, they look at the radar images, they look at the ground observations, and what they try to project is based on the visualization to conceptualize what might be happening in their brain and try to interpret what might be coming in the next, right? So when we do GIS visualization, it will be nice that we can capture that conceptual knowledge in the human brain and save the knowledge in the database So the system can also have the knowledge associated with a series of imagery. And once the system has that knowledge, then we can base on the knowledge for analysis and for data query and information computation. So here I see that visualization is really an entry point to look at what might be happening. So we can do that entry point for investigation, exploitation, hypothesis generation, understanding, but it also a means for communication, discerning correlation relationship, and reviewing pattern and dynamic. As I just described here, from a human operator's perspective, we see from data and think about what happened. And then conceptualize what might be the overall models that drive this, what happened, what we see. And then eventually we want to see again to validate that whether what we think is the same as what we think, if they have that correspondence. And if they do have that correspondence, that means we have a good understanding. If there is a misconnection, that means we must have missed out something. Or we might not have conceptualized at the same level scale.